so awesome to be here. I see a lot of new faces, so welcome. I apologize for Jay if he scared you. He scares me sometimes, too. I guess we've been coming, Jay said, about 13 years. It just seems like it's been forever. This church has been very dear to our hearts. And it was sad we weren't here last year. So don't let that happen again, Pastor Sean. thank you so much for having us again. And I'm honored to be here as always. I'm honored to get up before you. I'm one of you all. So Jay spoke this morning about what had happened last year. And just to recap, 2017 hit. And so every year we have an opportunity to be with a church in Brooklyn, New York. And we've done it 3 years in a row to usher in the presence of the Lord as soon as the New Year's hit. So we start service at 9 o'clock at night. And we go till like maybe 60 seconds before midnight, and then there's a countdown. It was the most awesome thing I've ever experienced because we would do New Year's Eve service, but it would be, this was years before, and it'd be an hour and a half service, and then we would go to a house party with our friends and eat and, you know, spend the time together, and we never made it to midnight because, you know, when you get older, it's like, I used to be able to stay up till all hours of the night, and now it's like past 9 o'clock. That's it. So when they asked us to do this, I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to be there till midnight, really? But anyways, we did it and was just tremendous. So every year, Jay and I both spend time with the Lord and seek the Lord. What would you have for the new year? And for me, you know, Jay talked about what his experience was with the Lord. And for me, I looked up the number 17, 2017. And lo and behold, the word was overcoming and victory. So I was so excited. Yay, 2017, overcomer. I'm an overcomer victory. And you know, yay, 2016's gone, and it's all new, and new beginnings, and yada, yada, yada. Anyways, 2017 came and went. Needless to say, I felt nothing victorious. I did not feel like I overcame, even though I stood. But in it, God spoke to my heart, and I was like, okay, 2018, I looked up the number. It really doesn't have anything. They gave some scripture. But I was like, okay, God, what do you have for us this year? What are you speaking to my heart? What are you speaking to the church worldwide? What are you speaking? And so with that, I was going to read this, but I'm not going to read it. If I have time at the end, I will. It's by a dear friend who's now home to be with the Lord, and it's called Don't Quit. So I'll read it at the end. And so I want you to turn with me to Genesis 50. And I know you've been reading the Bible, so great for you. I read the Bible a lot, but 4 years ago, I think it was 4 years ago, I made up my mind that I was going to read through the Bible every year. And so the first year I read through the whole Bible, started from Genesis, went all the way to the end. That was great. The second year I decided to do chronologically. And so I did that, and then now this fourth year going into it, I'm doing it chronologically, but I'm doing the old and the new. It's so rewarding because the Lord speaks to us through his word. And it encourages us. So I'm so glad that you're doing that, reading through the Bible. So I know you've been through these passages in Genesis already, because now you're going into Leviticus. Good luck with that. So, and here I am in Leviticus. Go figure. So, Genesis 50, I want to read verse 19 and 20 for you. You know these scriptures well if you've read anything about Joseph's life. Verse 19, Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God?" I love that, because he was saying, I'm not God. Am I in the place of God? "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many, many people alive." Turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8. And this is the scripture that the Lord gave me this year. It's my word of the year. It's my scripture of the year. I'm going to stand on this scripture. And even when, you know, how many are on Facebook? I'm getting so tired of Facebook. But one thing did happen. There was this thing on Facebook, and it said, "What scripture represents you?" And this was the scripture that came up. And I was like, whoa, it's my scripture. I couldn't believe it. I was like, how did you know that, Facebook? So verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to his image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, who he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Verse 37, I'm sorry, I forgot to give this to you. "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." So last year, that was the victory and conquerors. We were had being victorious and conquerors. But this year, it's we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And I want you to remember those words. So we look at this Romans, the book of Romans. And Paul sends a letter to the Romans. You have to remember, Rome at this time was the most degenerated area, most degenerated place that anyone could be or any man could be. They were the city of pleasure. They had actually 159 holidays a year. So needless to say, they liked to party. I like to party too, but there's a different kind of partying that they were doing. They had 93 times that they would have places in their in the Roman Colosseums. They had all kinds of Colosseums. They called them circuses. So they were circuses, and they would have 93, and the government paid for these for the people to come and watch. One of them was called Circus Maximus, and it actually seated 200,000 people. By the time that Paul is gone, by the time that Nero comes on the scene, they're actually having spectacles in these Colosseums of orgies. I won't say anything else, but that, you could look it up. So anyways, Paul comes on the scene because to live in Rome and to be a Christian at that time, and I want you to hear that because it's a tough time for us. It's a tough time in our world and things that are going on in our world. But remember, for us, all things work together for good. And so Paul comes on to talk to them about salvation. And he writes to the Romans all the things that were going on. And so he comes, he wants to talk to them about the cross of Christ, redemption, their hope. Listen, there is no hope outside of faith. So you need to have faith. And people will ask me, what is faith? Well, look at the very first verse in Genesis, in the beginning, God. If you can't take that and have faith that God was in the very beginning, we're already at a problem. So we need to have faith and believe in what you believe, and it'll grow. Read your Bible. Spend time with him. We're learning about that, to just spend time with him and be able to see his glory. So anyways, we have hope. We have victory. He's talking about the victory and that we are more than conquerors, even though we may not feel it at times. But we are, and it's not because of what victories we've had or conquered. It's because of the love of Christ. We love him, so all things work together for good, but he first loved us. Amen? And so all things work together for good because he first loved us. So we come to Joseph. Come on. Joseph is the perfect example of all things work together for good. If you don't know his life, I encourage you to read the story. If you already haven't, you should have gone. If you're going through the Bible, you did. And it's Genesis 37 to 50, the story of Joseph. And this year when I read it, I sat there and almost had a weep in my heart because I never realized the hardship of Joseph. You know, we read the stories and we think, oh, la-di-da, okay. I was so sad, and because there was a point where he's thrown in the pit by his brothers and he pleads with them. The brothers later on in chapter 42 talks about how what comes around, what goes around comes around, and they deserved what they were getting because he pleaded with them and they just threw him in the pit anyways and left him for dead. So it starts and it opens up. He's 17 years old. His father loves him because he was his son in his later years. And he had all these other brothers, and they despised him and hated him because they called him the dreamer. Come on. We have dreams. We all need to have dreams and dream big because God has a plan and a purpose. Not only did he have one for Joseph, but he's got a plan and a purpose for every one of you. Not to just come to church on Sundays, but to be proactive. Not to just be a seat warmer, but to be one of the people that you're giving back because he's got a plan and a purpose for you. And so his brothers hate him, and his father sends him out one day to go check on the brothers. Go check on your brothers. They're feeding the sheep or doing whatever they do. And he goes, and every step when you're reading this story, God could have altered, but see, all things work together for good. And so he goes, and they see him, and here comes the dreamer. And they plot to kill him. Reuben, the older brother, stops him. Reuben's going to go back, and his thing is, just don't kill him. Throw him in the pit. You know, just throw him into the pit. And Reuben was going to go back to get him. When he goes back, he sees he's gone. They give him over to a slave, the Ishmaelites, that take him to Egypt. And that's how the story starts at this young boy, 17 years old, how God used him because all things work together for good. And we know that he loved God. So they sell him as a slave, and they bring him to Egypt. And he's sold to a man called Potiphar, who is very wealthy. And all things work together for good. And it says, God was with him. Sometimes if you're thrown in a pit by your brothers or thrown a pit or something happens, really? God was with him this whole time? So they throw him into a pit, and he has favor and success, and he prospers. And it says in the word that even this man, Potiphar, knew that God was with him. That would be awesome for Christianity, for the world to see us and know that God is with us. So you remember the word this morning, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So anyways, he sells them, and Potiphar's wife lies about him because she saw that he was a pretty good-looking kid. That's what he probably was to her. And so she lies, and Potiphar comes back, throws him into prison. Really? God was with him. All things work together for good. And it's like, at this point, you think he would have given up and said, forget it. God's not with me. All things work together for good? Really? Come on. So he watches. He gets again favor and success and prospers. And the head of the prison ward, or whatever they called him, he gives him charge over the other prisoners. And he's able to speak to the other prisoners. And so all of a sudden one day, this butler and this baker get thrown into prison, and he's able to talk with them. They're thrown into prison by Pharaoh. God has a plan here. All things work together for good. And so these two people, the chief butler, the chief baker, they have dreams. They have a dream. And so they knew that he was able to interpret dreams. Now, they go to him to interpret the dreams. So evidently there was stuff going on in the prison. You know, if you read between the lines, they knew God's with this man. So he interprets their dreams. You know, I feel so bad for the baker. There was, and the candlestick maker and whatever. So anyways, 3 days later, the interpretation comes to pass. The butler gets to go back to the Pharaoh's house as the chief butler. But, sorry, baker, he got his head taken off. He were hung. And so one thing that Joseph asked the butler, because he said, what can I do for you? You know, this is so great. And Joseph says, when you get out, remember me. Well, lo and behold, 2 years later, God has a plan. Oh my, and all things work together for good to those that love God. Now, come on, over all this, you don't think Joseph loved God? God was with him, it said. So he loved God. He knew God because he stayed faithful to that calling. And so 2 years later, the Pharaoh has a dream. And nobody in his castle could interpret the dream. And all of a sudden, the butler, oh my, I forgot. This guy that's in the prison, God was with him, and he interpreted my dream. He could probably interpret your dream. So they go and they get him, and he comes. He was 17 when his brothers threw him in the pit. He stands before Pharaoh, 30 years old. That's hard to take. God was with him. And God had a plan and a purpose, because all things work together for good. So all of a sudden, he interprets the dream, and we know it was 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. The 7 years of plenty pass, and now it's 7 years of famine. His brothers, Jacob sends his brothers to Egypt to go buy bread, to go buy food. It's about 20 years, maybe even longer, before they ever saw him. So he's changed. He's probably dressing like an Egyptian. He's married already. He has two kids, and he's married. And so the brothers come, and it says he recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. And he speaks to them with an interpreter. And so it says he's a little harsh with them. You think? Oh, man. Boom, zoom. So eventually, I can't go through the whole story. Eventually, he reveals himself to them, goes back, and the father and all of them come to live in Goshen. That's where we are when we come into the book of Exodus and Moses, how the people got there. They go from 70 people to over 600 just men. That's how God multiplied them. So Joseph's father dies, and the brothers are like, oh boy, this is it. He's going to repay us. That's where that scripture comes from, because the brothers were like, he's going to repay us. He's going to, that's it. Dad's dead. And they plead with him. And they're like, you know what? I don't know what we did to him, and it was harsh. He pleaded with us. But that's when he says to them, listen, that what you meant for evil, God turned for good. Because God was with him. He loved his God. God was with him, and God made all things work together for good, for not only him, but the people of Israel. A great nation came out of that. And then our Christ came out of that nation. And that we came out of Christ. And it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so as believers and as Christians and as followers of Christ, it says, when I read it in the beginning, he predestined us. He predestined each and every one. What it means is he knew the day you were going to come into the kingdom. He knew. And so he knew, he predestined and ordained it. And there's a purpose and a plan for each and every one. And for each and every one of us, God is with us. God is for us. He has a purpose and a plan. And all things. Sometimes we say, well, some things. No, all things. I don't understand it sometimes. Going through certain situations and things, I can go back. We're in the Christianity for about 40 years, Jay and I. I could go back and look over things. Back then, I didn't think all things work together for good. But I look back, and I see that everything we went through, it worked together for good. Because we love God. But God first loved us. And so, if you're one of those people like Joseph, you've been lied about. Maybe you've been misunderstood. Maybe you've gone through some situations in your life that, some people have said this to me. How could God do this? I'm talking non-Christians. How could God do this? Or how could God do that? And I talked to some people that are more victorious and overcomers, and they've gone through much more hardship than I have. Maybe you've gone through situations like Joseph. Maybe you've gone through things that you just don't understand. Or how could God, why did you allow this? But I'm here to tell you that he is faithful. Sometimes we're not faithful, but I know our God is faithful. And so all things that we go through work together for our good because I love him, but more so. I'm only victorious, and an overcomer because of the Christ that is in me. The Christ that died for me. The Christ that redeemed me. The Christ that was resurrected. He's not a dead Christ. He's an alive Christ. And so because of him, in my life, I look back, all things work together for good because of his love. Because while we were yet sinners, he died for us. His Father, our Father, put him on a cross so that he would be the first among us all to go through what he went through. He was here on this earth to walk through the things he knew we would experience. All things work together for good in his life. And he was the firstborn among many. And you're here tonight because greater is he in you than he that's in the world. And all things work together for good for you. And we love him, but he first loved us. Aren't you glad? Amen. Just close your eyes for a minute. One of the things that I just really felt like, not only do I want to pray for you for healing, but healing of our bodies, but healing for our mind. Because it's our mind sometimes that, if you read the beginning of Romans, our mind that condemns us. So one of the things is in our mind for healing, that our mind would be renewed by the washing, the regeneration of the word in us. That's why it's so important to read and spend time in the Bible. And so I want to pray for your minds that you could just have that mind renewed. And if you have to keep reading this scripture over and over again in Romans 8, all things work together for good. And that's my mantra for the year. All things work together for good. But also, the very important thing, I want to pray right now for broken hearts. Sometimes the worst hurt in us is when our heart is broken. I read the thing about Joseph. How could his heart not be broken over his very family throwing him in a pit? And when they come and he sees them, it says he had to leave the room because he wept. He saw them. And he asked about his father. He said, "How's your father?" And not knowing if he would ever see them again. And do you have any other brothers? And he knew he had a younger brother, Benjamin, he found out. And so I want to just pray for you right now, just every eye closed. If you have a broken heart, your mind is just overtime, overloaded, just overloaded with what if or why this or what if. I just want you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand and let God heal you tonight. Let him renew your mind. Let him renew your heart. Let him renew you to the love of God. Let him saturate you with his love and overflow you so that you'll know in your heart God really loves you. He's for you. He's not out to get you. He's out to make all things to work to your good. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for each and every person here right now. God, I just pray that you would come down and touch our minds, Lord, that you would renew our mind and regenerate it, that we would know without a doubt the love of Christ and the love of the Father. Father, you sent your Son to earth to die, that we could stand here and we could have a hope and a faith that all things work together for good. And Lord, I pray for the broken hearts, that it would go from our mind to our heart, and the very love that you have, that you would just send your Spirit, Lord, Holy Spirit, just wrap yourself around each and every individual here, Lord. Let us experience, like never before, the love of God, and that we would know without a doubt, no doubts, that you love us. You love us, and you're working everything for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to just come and kneel and let him just overflow in you and just touch your heart, please.
We want to invite our ladies to come forward that we've asked to pray this evening. And if that word was for you this evening, we want to agree with you in prayer. We do not want you to leave the same way you came, but I believe that God is here to touch each and every one of us this evening. That he has a purpose and he has a plan for us. And our lives, he wants us to, our lives, to bring him glory. We give ourselves to him. And whatever it is that he wants to do, even though sometimes we may not understand it, even sometimes though it may be difficult, that we know that he is using those things for our good. And it will bring glory and honor to him. So would you just stand this evening as we worship, if that's, you want to come here, or if the ladies would come forward that we've asked to pray, and if you need prayer, they're going to agree with you in prayer this evening. Amen.